Let's welcome Brother Bustard as he comes to the platform or the pulpit, brings us the word of the Lord. Thank you for coming, Brother Bustard.
And praise the Lord, everybody. And all of God's people sit, amen. Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord with all of you saints of the Most High God. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Would you just continue standing for the reading of the scripture? Amen. If you're a visitor in the house, would you wave your hand? If you're a, look at this. Can we give them a hand clap? Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being our guest. We want you to just continue to feel right at home. Let me give a heads up to the media booth. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through verse 18. You know it. Amen. And I love to preach from it. Praise the Lord. We began this year with a creative miracle. 16-year-old Gabby walked into our crusade and got a miracle, went back to the doctor. Not only was the cyst gone from her throat, she received a new thyroid. Amen. And if you need the Holy Ghost, you can receive it tonight. There's no reason why you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. And if you want to be baptized in water, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, you can do that tonight. Amen. Matter of fact, before I read my text, if you want to get baptized in Jesus' name and you understand what baptism is, it's putting off the old man. It's being buried with water, with Christ in water, and rising again. We can show you where the changing room is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's all right to preach about current events and to stay relevant with what is happening. But he said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I'm not here to strike at your religion, but I want to make it very clear. He did not say, he that believeth and is saved shall be baptized. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray for a great anointing, and all of God's people said amen. Would you join the rest of the congregation with a thunderous 30-second CGC Sunday night round of applause. Hallelujah. Praise God. I will bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. Are you going to help me? You spoil an evangelist. You may be seated. Somewhere around 8 decades ago in New Brunswick, Canada, up in Carleton County, a little stretch of road, a community that was called Monument Settlement. Just a few houses spread throughout the area. That's where my father met my mother. And she was only in her mid-teens. It wasn't a stretch to get married way back in that day, especially the way they were raised, because she was already taking care of her siblings, walking to school a couple miles one way and mixing the bread and letting it rise all day long and coming home from school and feeding the men when they came in from the fields. So she got married. They lived in a little cabin, and first child, William, came along. My mom and dad were not Christians, and things begin to take a downward turn. And she was expecting her second child, and it was winter time. And in that cabin, in deep into Canadian wintertime season, with no telephone, no Wi-Fi, or as the gentleman on the plane a couple of years ago said, Wi-Fi, no neighbors, and since the monument settlement was almost on the U.S. border, Dad had crossed the border, was picked up by the police, drinking and driving, put up for the night. And here this girl was about 17 or 18 years of age. It's about midnight, and she takes all of the wood she has in that cabin, puts it in the belly of the stove, and puts the one-and-a-half-year-old, two-year-old William to bed. And being 9 months expecting with her second child, she laid down and felt the labor pains and knew it was time. She looked up to heaven and said, if you're up there, I ask you to please help me make it through this night. And she gave birth to the second child, Vernon. I cannot explain to you how she kept two children alive through the night. One about 2 years old, the other newborn. Uncle Dave, my father's brother, he looked out across the field and there was no smoke rising from the chimney from that cottage, and he knew something was wrong. He waded through the snow and opened the door, and I do not mean to talk slang or be improper, but his words were, oh my God. No doctor, nurse, or midwife, so he went and got the midwife. God must have heard that teenage girl's prayer, because William survived and became a great preacher of the gospel. He passed away a few years ago. The second, Vernon, just had his 78th birthday in October, survived a heart attack, no scar tissue today, and he's probably preaching somewhere in Eastern Canada tonight. More children, but also more addiction. It was spiraling quickly. My mother's two sisters, Gertrude and Beulah, left the monument area and went to a fishing community called Black's Harbor, New Brunswick, Canada. Went to work in the sardine factory and got the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name and helped the pastor. He was the elder way back in the day. We called him Grampy Ring. Grampy Ring had such a revival in New Brunswick, Canada, that the tobacco dried up on store shelves because it wasn't being smoked, chewed, or purchased. Beulah and Gertrude were in their upper teens, and they purchased a little house, not much at all, very modest, and they had powerful prayer meetings in that house, and they turned it into a house of prayer. Now going back to monument settlement with all the children, now my father had two farms, and he would have been successful, except alcohol is a terrible addiction. And if you're bound by it here tonight, you're in the right place. Don't you feel out of place because you have a chemical addiction or one to alcohol or pornography or anything. You showed up in the right place tonight. Jesus Christ has power to set you free. Sound people, I know this crowd. They'll probably get loud. Keep the sound hot. We're going to have a great meeting here tonight. I'm not going to preach a long time. You don't have to preach a long time to this crowd. My father lost those two farms because he was delinquent with his taxes. And if that gets too loud, you will not offend me if you bring it down some. Let's just not offend the people by getting the acoustics too loud. Amen. And so, to make a long story short, I cannot go through the details with great detail because it's just going to be too time consuming. Beulah and Gertrude said to my father, Raymond, we're probably going to be moving to Ontario, up to Hamilton, Ontario, and we'll sell you this house. And they negotiated. And my father, in the old panel truck, moved the children down to Black's Harbor and bought a house. He just didn't know he bought a house of prayer. The Pentecostal preacher, without a vehicle, in pain when he walked because one leg was significantly shorter than the other, would walk around that harbor to that bustard house. And my father was so angry, he literally wanted to take an axe and kill him. And then it happened. William got saved. But he was not welcomed by my father. My father, after hearing of his conversion, said, I don't even want to recognize you as my son. Some of you think there's no hope that your family, your mom and your dad and your siblings will be living for God. Don't you give up. Don't you scratch their name off of your prayer list. You keep on believing. Now abideth hope. Now abideth hope. And then my mother came in. And then another sibling came in, another and another. Until one night in that little Pentecostal church, it's still sitting there. It's a shell now. They're going to fix it up and kind of, it's going to be kind of a historical building. And the history that is there. And my brother Arden said, I heard the door of the church open on that Sunday night, and I turned around because there were several steps that led to the auditorium. And when the person finally got to the last riser, my brother said, I turned around and saw my father. And he said, I sunk my head down into my shoulders and said, oh God, please don't let him embarrass the family tonight. But that house of prayer had gotten a hold of him. His son William, getting a complete transformation, touched him. And he saw there was hope for him. He was a loser. He was bound. But he saw there was hope. And he did not stop at the back row of seats or halfway. He came all the way to the front. And when he bowed his knee, he unloaded a life of pain and shame and sin. Now, he did get baptized in Jesus' name, and he did receive the Holy Ghost, but his conversion was so powerful that when he got up, he never smoked again. He never drank a drop of liquor again. That's why we do not rush people through repentance. Repentance is beautiful. Don't let anybody rob you of saying, Lord Jesus, I ask you to wash me in your blood. I ask you to cleanse me, God. Take it away, God. Take the pain away. Take the sin away. Take the shame away. Create within me a new heart. Renew within me a right spirit. You will know it the moment it lifts off of you when you repent. And that makes you ready for the water to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing like it. That is the message. There is no other message. Why would anybody think that we ought to put distance between us and the manifestation and the demonstration of the gift of the Holy Ghost in order to fill up a building? You mean you think you can do it without the Holy Ghost? You mean you think you've got enough good enough program that they'll walk out of the movie theater, they'll walk out of the casino, they'll walk out of Hollywood and off of the strip in Vegas to come in and see your show. No, if God builds it, they will come. That house of prayer remained a house of prayer. Man, I'm going to have you're going to have to give me 30 minutes to preach tonight, because I'm going to have a preaching fit. This is not about saying the right things to get a good offering. This is about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with signs, wonders, and miracles. Before my family were ever taught about the fivefold ministry and the nine gifts of the Spirit, they begin to flow in the Holy Ghost. Roy Grant, prophetic utterance came forth in the living room of my house. When my parents and the siblings prayed, they were slammed by the power of God. Some of them had their complete lives laid out in prophetic utterance because of the power of God. And when we all left, and it was just mother in that house, and she was about to shutter the windows and move on down the road, she sold it to my brother, another brother, and he was a backslider, and things went on in that house that she would not approve of because they were far away from praying. That house burned to the ground. But I was born into red hot, apostolic, Holy Ghost, signs, wonders, miracles, revival. That's where I was born. That's all that I know. And that's all that I want. I'm addicted to it. I love the moving of the Holy Ghost. It's going to get bigger, bigger, better, better, greater, greater. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. I will give you the latter and the former reign together. Honey, it's not over. It's just beginning. The stage is being set for the church to be put on full display by God Almighty. He's going to send you to the marketplace. He's going to send you to the academic world. He's going to send you into the political fields with the power of God to shake nations. That's what God is calling us to do. And I remember what it's all about. Yeah, I remember it. I remember deaf ears being unstopped and blind eyes being open and crooked limbs being made straight. And my Uncle Earl, who had a gift of faith working him and had the dead brought back to life at least on one occasion. We believe those things around here. We believe that with God, all things are possible. And being exposed to it. And when father died, I refer more to mother than father, because he died when I was 7 and she's the one that raised the younger ones. But she, money was not in abundance, but she would get money enough for gasoline to take us to. And I'm not against soccer games and hockey and football. I'm not against those things. I'm just simply saying she prioritized her gas money to take us to fellowships and to camp meetings and to rallies. She made sure we were exposed to the power of God. And I caught it. I caught it. When I was about 7 years of age, I raised my hands and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I knew the moment I got it, and I became so hungry for it. It's all I wanted. And I would pray and fast. And I would read books on George Mueller, who ran an orphanage in England. He never asked a person for a money for food or clothing or for utilities, but brought in more than $7 million because God met his need on a daily basis. I read Smith Wigglesworth, how the cancer was healed and the dead were brought back to life in creative miracles. I read after F.F. Bosworth. I heard about a man named T.W. Barnes, and I got hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. then around 16 or 17 years of age, it gripped me and I knew it would not release me. And I gave into it. And I came down to our church. No central heater air. It was wintertime weather. And I would put the wood in the furnace in the basement of the church. And for 2 weeks, I stayed at that church and waited upon God all night long. I would pray until my vocal cords were so hoarse I couldn't speak, asking God, please use me, because if you'll use me, I'll go wherever you send me. If you wanted to rend my heart, put me in a service to have somebody to sing, my house is full, but my fields are empty, I would weep. Or let me hear that old one, just to be his hand extended. Or I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. It just moved me. And I prayed, God, use me. And one night, out of nowhere, the gift of prophecy came into my being, and I spoke the first prophetic utterance in my life. And then it went on to the gift of the word of knowledge and gift of this and gift of that. And I was branded, marked. And I made up my mind that I would never deviate from it, because I was taught the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In 1987, my wife and I had not received our papers to live permanently in the United States. So in 85, 86, and 87, I came for a few months and then returned. We had preached in the South and were about to go home to finish up our paperwork for permanent residency. And before I left Louisiana in 1987, in Denham Springs, Louisiana, Ray Johnson's church, after ministering, a woman came and said, I had a vision of you. I saw you in a bubble, but professionalism was trying to burst the bubble and get at you. I said, I receive it. Now, everything according to apostolic orders confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We drove 2,000 miles and returned to New Brunswick, Canada. And the first service I was in, I was attending my brother Arden's church in St. John. It was a Sunday. And a man on the platform who was an assistant walked up and said, I had a vision of you. I saw you in a bubble and something was trying to burst the bubble. I said, was it professionalism? He said, yes. I said, I understand. Lord, I hear you. You've spoken once and yet you've spoken twice. And I believe in achieving academically and so forth, and I'm very frugal, and we're doing the whole 401k and all that kind of thing, but I have made up my mind. I will not deviate from apostolic power. So I want to ask you tonight, have you got it? Okay, let's take a different approach. Does Wisconsin have a professional NFL team? What's the name? Really? Now I'm going to ask you again, do you have Holy Ghost power? Is it the greatest thing that's ever happened to you? Do you find yourself still falling in love with Jesus? On a Sunday night, do you like to walk in and leave all your baggage outside? Leave all the news outside? Leave all your problems outside and say, I don't know what you've come to do, but I've come to praise the Lord. Do you love to let your head fall back, your mouth drop open and speak in tongues, and your bottom lip tremble and your knees shake until you don't know if you can stand under the weight of the glory of God, but
you throw your dignity aside and you embrace his deity and you say, I don't care if they pick me up off the floor, put me in my car, and get a designated driver to return me to my house. I love it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Now the next question is, are you going to keep it? Because I love you all, and I love coming every July. But if you're not going to keep it, you don't need to spend money flying me in, because this is all that I'm about. You see, if you're not going to keep it, you better get a program in place for these little tots and toddlers, because you're going to have something that's going to keep them. But I'll tell you what will work for them. That the same thing that worked for the silver-haired people in here. The Holy Ghost and power will keep you alive. He saves. He keeps. He satisfies. Young people, are you going to embrace it? Do you realize you're the prophetic generation that Joel prophesied about and that Peter referred to on the day of Pentecost? Something big is coming your way. There are mantles that are coming down. Elijahs are being taken, but Elishas are being raised up. As long as you don't hurt anybody, you can turn that into a raceway if you want to. You can get out and dance before the Lord with joy if you want to. You can speak in tongues until you can't talk a word English if you want to. Young people, you've got it. I see it on you. You've got it. You ought to just turn it loose. Come on, forget about your composure. Forget about the pizza joint. Forget about social media. No, no, just let it get on you tonight. Let it get on you tonight.
My wife disappointed me the other night. She announced, and this is probably a Wisconsin staple, but it's not, you know, it's just, but in Eastern Canada, we didn't get to go to Ruth's Chris and have cowboy cut bone-in ribeyes. When mom put the food on the table, you sat up, shut up, ate up, and you never were quite filled up. Once in a while, you know, my wife said to me the other day, she said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to put some potatoes on the plate and take some ground beef, some hamburger, mix it with gravy and put it on top. That's a good old Canadian dish. I'd almost soon have that as Ruth's Chris. Not quite, but just about. When it came time for supper, no, she had it done in patties and there wasn't any gravy. And I said, I'm sorry. I mean, I really appreciate this, but I was really thinking I was going to sit down to potatoes with hamburger and gravy. Because I don't want my sweet. Now, she's learning how to cook crawfish etouffee. She can cook a great gumbo. Oh, Lord, is her gumbo good. She gets the roux just about right. But once in a while, I say, get some of that Canadian cuisine and put it on the table, because there are some things I want to hold on to from my past. I thank God for iPhones and Siri. We covered that this morning. But there's a few things I want to hold on to from my past. I just do it. Just preach to several hundred Jamaicans. And I love that they're holding on to some things. Yaman, can you dig it? Do I respect you, man? Yay, to the mountain. To the mountain. I love it. Claude, where are you tonight?
that's Brother Clyde with an Alabama accent. No, that came from the continent of Africa. Clyde, don't become so Americanized you forget some of the dear things you brought over with you. We are Pentecostal. We're not going to make it trying to be somebody we're not. It's a lot different when someone from the denominational world is getting revelation and they're walking this way. It's a whole lot different than somebody who has had it. And they think they can make it without it.
So Eli's sons had grown dim. And his sons had desecrated the house of God with their immorality. And God doesn't put up with that. I like what one preacher said just a while ago, and he's not one of our boys, but he was preaching a doing a pretty good job. He said, you can call art you can call pornography art if you want to, but that doesn't change the word of God. You can get all kind of new definitions for marriage, but that doesn't change the word of God. You can try just to be a sipping saint if you want to, but that doesn't change the word of God. And because of it, Israel lost the battle. And they lost good men. And the news came back to Eli. And they said, Eli, something happened today. Your sons were killed in battle, and it broke his heart. But when they told him the next part of that news, it shook him. They said, Eli, you lost your sons, and Israel lost the ark. He fell off the stool. Hearing his son's death was hard. But no ark. He fell off his seat. I don't know if that would move everybody like that. I'm not so sure they put that high of a priority on the ark of God, which is the power of God, the peace of God, the provisions of God. But you can't make it without it. During Saul's reign, there is no record that he pursued to recover the ark. What kind of a king thinks he can rule over God's people without the presence of God? America, turn your heart back to God. We appreciate the armed forces. We thank God for the technology. And we thank God for every man and woman who paid the ultimate price. And those who are paying it today. But if we don't return back to God, we can't build big enough bombs. Righteousness exalts a nation. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. The Philistines came in control of the ark, but they didn't know what it was. This world does not know what you've got. And when they looked inside and were exposed to raw power with no mercy, over 50,000 men of Beth Shemesh were smitten dead. And they said, we want nothing to do with this. So the elders of Kiriatharim, but since we don't want to wrap our tongue around that word every time, we're going to call them elders of Israel, came in possession and said, we've got to seek somebody out that will watch out after this ark. Somebody that will reverence it and esteem it and protect it and give their life for it. Have you got it? Are you going to keep it? Because it is without repentance And they came to the house of Abinadab. It's a house by the hill. Say a house. By the hill. That's all it says about it. And out of all of his sons, the elders of Kiriatharim, the elders of Israel, chose Eleazar to keep the ark. They sanctified him to keep the ark. Young people, we believe in you. We're not going to overlook you. We're going to put the focus on every age group, but we're going to make sure that you get it as well, because the ends of the world have fallen upon your shoulders and you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And all I want to know is there an Eleazar at Calvary Gospel Church who we can sanctify? Are you willing to be sanctified? Are you willing to be holy because he's holy? Are you willing to step out of the crowd and become a leader and say, I embrace it? I don't know how old he was when he was given the task. He was a young man. Would you say a young man? And in every era, everyone has hope, dreams, and aspirations. And I'm sure that Eleazar had his list already written up. But sometimes God invades your life. You see, you thought you had everything planned, and you knew just how it was going to be, and you dotted every I and you crossed every T. You had your GPS programmed, and God stepped in and said, it's going to be a little bit different. But if you're willing to pass the reins over to him, if you're willing to say, I bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ, I will not try to do it my way. I submit myself to your will, not my will, but thy will be done. And he gave himself to it. Would you say a long time? Because the Bible said it was a long time. He looked after that ark for 20 years. 20 years is a long time to give yourself to keeping that ark. Oh, there are things that he missed out on, and they're not going to make a return visit, because some opportunities only come around once in a lifetime. No man builds a house unless he first sits down and counts the cost. You see, Brother Roy, he kept it. And now you've been sanctified to keep it. Brother Thomas, you've been sanctified to keep it. My brother, you've been sanctified. And you, saints of the Most High God, have been sanctified to keep it. Because if it's ever going to be brought back to Israel, somebody has got to make sure it's all right. And in the lonely times, when nobody is heaping accolades on you for doing a great job saying, attaboy, you watch over and you make sure that in your house the ark is present. All you gotta do is keep it. But I promise you, if you'll keep it, you'll be greatly rewarded. Get ready to come back to the music. I don't feel like I have to preach much longer. If you will keep this, I promise you one thing, it will keep you. Mother Teresa one time said, we are more called to be faithful than successful. People are so caught up with trying to be successful. Just be faithful. I will cherish the old rugged cross. Paul said, if I glory in anything, I will glory in the cross. all I have to do. I do not intend to disparage anybody in the statement I'm about to make. This is not a judgment being made. It's a statement being made. I am not called to compete with Joel Osteen or anyone else. I am called to keep the ark of God. That's what I am called to do. That's all I've got to do. Keep the fire burning. Make sure it's there. It was a long time. But the Bible doesn't only say that the gifts and the calling are without repentance. There you go, musicians just kind of flow right in here behind me. There you go. Bring up that Hammond as well, sis. I read the instructions. Organ must be unplugged before Leslie is plugged in. It takes a little while to get that Leslie going, but once you get it going. The Bible also said that your gift will go before you and bring you before great men. That white-haired, big-eared boy, young as of 19, from Eastern Canada, saying, "Oh God, use me." One time, Chuck Berry said, "Rock and roll's been mighty good to me." Morton Bustard says, "The gospel has been mighty good to me." I get to do this for a living. The pay is all right, but the retirement plan is out of this world. In my travels of preaching the gospel, I have gotten to walk over the polished stone floors of the Louvre, and I've seen the Venus de Milo and the Mona Lisa. I've seen the changing of the guard at Buckingham. I've flown over the fjords of Norway. Oh, goodness sakes, a few weeks ago, I heard a live performance of the symphony in downtown Vienna, Austria, and I laid my head down and a tear came into my eye, and I thought, I just said, I'll look after the ark. And before I go any further, I want to thank our seasoned saints who kept the ark. How many of you have had the Holy Ghost for 50 years or more? Wave your hand. We salute you in this house. Brother Grant, I want to thank you. And in spite of great adversity, you kept the ark. Not to open old wounds and go a place I have no business going, but the great personal pain that came to your home, you kept the ark. Now I believe the ark is in good hands. I believe in the leadership here, and I believe in all of you, and I believe in the young people. Hold your head up high. Square your shoulders. You are in possession of the greatest thing this side of glory. He put this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not going to hold you back. It's going to take you places you never dreamed possible. But your gift will bring you before a great man. One day, in that unassuming sleepy town, by the house by the hill, they looked down that
rural road, and oh goodness sakes, here came a stampede. The finest steeds mounted by uniformed men. Why, they are the Praetorian Guard. And somewhere in the mix of that is the royal carriage. Because a new king came on the throne. He said, we got to find the ark. And somebody said, I know just where it is. A young man has given 20 years of his life. He's waiting for you. He's got it. Faith in him, I believe that you'll find it right there at a house by the hill. No recognition, no celebration, but that day the royal carriage stops in front of a modest house and someone said, meet the young man who preserved the Ark of the Covenant. And now there will be rejoicing. For 15 miles every 6 steps there will be an animal sacrifice. And a king will dance so wildly he will dance himself out of his robe. And his wife will be appalled at the sight. But the reason why there will be singing and dancing is because a humble young man said, I'll keep it. Would you stand to your feet? Hold on to it. Keep it. Because there's a king coming. And you may have missed every moment of recognition. But when that king comes and looks at you and says, well done. Thank you for keeping it. Before I pray for the sick, before I minister in any gift of the Spirit, I want to ask any Elozar in this house to walk up here and raise your hands up high, no matter where you are in your walk with God. If you're from 35 down to zero, I'm asking you to leave where you're standing and walk down here and raise your arms and say, sanctify me. I will cherish it. I will keep it. I will esteem it. It's the dearest thing to me. It's the dearest thing to me. It's my greatest possession. Look at this. Look at this. There you go. Hallelujah. There you go. There you go. Arms stretched high and wide. Oh, that's it. Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 Let it happen to you all over again. Let it happen to you all over again. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Knees trembling under the weight of the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Sanctify me. Sanctify me. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I want to be sanctified when I go back to school, whether it's grade 1 or grade 12. Lord, I want to be sanctified when I return to the college campus. Oh, hallelujah. In spite of all the secularism and the humanism, I'm going to walk onto that campus Holy Ghost filled. Now, would everybody 35 and above, would you walk down this aisle? Would you begin to mix and move all through this crowd? Just lay your hand on a shoulder and then move over and lay your hand on another shoulder. That's it. Come on. Sanctify them. You're the elders. You're the elders. They are so sincere tonight.
I know your bodies may be tired, but we would really, really appreciate your hand on our shoulder right now. We are asking for the elders to begin to move through the congregation. Go ahead, young person. Go ahead, young person. You are blessed. Young person, you have the favor of God upon you. That's it. Hallelujah. The hand of God rests mightily upon your life, young lady. Young man, you're anointed of God. Hallelujah. God has great things in store. Listen to this tonight. Listen to this cacophony. Just let it go. Just let it go. That's it. Just let it go. Just let it go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. There you go. Transfer it. There you go. Transfer it. There you go, sweetheart. There you go. There you go. Yes, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's power. That's power. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the power of God on you right now. Raise your hands up. There you go. Raise your hands up. This is the family. This is beautiful. Raise your hands up and say, Lord Jesus, wash me. Say, cleanse me, Jesus. Say, cleanse me, Jesus. Say, fill me, Jesus. Lord, lay your hand upon them, I pray right now. Sweet Holy Ghost, touch her right now. Sweet Holy Ghost, touch her right now. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Help me pray. That's it. Help me pray, sis. Help me pray. There you go. There you go. Step right in and just kind of help me out here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sanctify me, Holy Ghost. Set me free, Jesus, from every bondage. Set me free from every habit. Hallelujah. 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 Rabahu shakato rabaharando labaharia lobohurianda. Rabahu shakato rabaharianda.